around it, and I have with me on the line our senator from Frederick County, Senator Mike Huff. Good afternoon, Senator.
Hey, good afternoon.
It's good to hear from you. It's good to call you, Senator. You earned your stripes this last session down there in Little Swamp Land, and I'm not gonna pick on you, because you've been picked on enough over these last 90 days of hell, whatever you call it, wherein we find once again, Senator, the overpowering strength of the Democrat Party in Maryland has pretty much done what they wanted to do, whether it made good sense or not. I would ask that you would, at this point, give us give us a scenario, if you will, of the last 90 days in Annapolis.
Yeah, I think the predominant takeaway is, and it's not even, I think you mentioned beginning, obviously Democrats are in a supermajority, but it's really changed even since I was elected. My first term, I was elected back in 2010 to the House, but even just last term in the Senate, in that we used to have a lot more moderate Democrats, and we don't anymore. And the Maryland Senate has really been pushed far to the left.
Wow.
And we saw that especially this year when it came to policing reform and criminal justice issues. And actually, the Senate, we started off well in that there were 9 bills dealing with policing. And I should mention, this was the second go-round for Maryland doing police reform. We did it in 2016 after the riots in Baltimore City. And actually then, we passed the bill 47-0. Everybody came together and worked on it. We had police at the table. We had community activists. We had everybody at the table, and we put together a bill. This year, we sort of got to that place in the beginning, in that there were 9 bills, 7 passed unanimously, and they weren't do-nothing bills. They were big bills dealing with use of force standards and body cameras and all kinds of stuff. And what happened, though, was the activists did not like what we passed. They did not like that there was compromise. They wanted it all their way. So you had a group of real far-left folks come down. Basically, the defund the police crowd came down to Annapolis. They had a big protest, and they even went to legislators' homes and started protesting. And then what you had happen after that is the House saw that, and they go, well, we don't want that. So they went really far left on their package. And basically, the Senate completely capitulated to the House, threw out all the work we had done, all the compromises, and ended up with a very anti-police package. I would say Maryland passed one of the most far-left anti-police packages you'll see in the whole country this year. All kinds of stuff that they did in there, from more than doubling the cost of lawsuits that can come against police. So in our small towns like Brunswick and Thurmont, to have police forces will make it a lot harder. To taking allegations that have been disproven, that are false, have been alleged against police, that be in their personnel records, saying that those records cannot be expunged of false complaints. We don't even treat criminals that way.
Right.
And then saying those false complaints can be made open to the public. So the people that were protesting at the homes of legislators and protesting at the Capitol, we're now going to give these people ammunition of false allegations and disproven allegations and give them and hand them over to these people to destroy our police officers' lives. And also they put in place a use of force standard, which means that when they arrest somebody, they have to decide, what is excessive force or not. We had a compromise in the Senate against excessive force. We ended up going to a standard that is totally undefined in Maryland law called necessary and proportional. Not defined at all in the bill, not defined at all in case law. So now our police officers are in complete limbo. So when they have to make a split-second decision, if somebody's resisting arrest or attacking them, they have to know on an undefined standard, their reaction could force them to face 10 years in prison, which is totally irresponsible and terrible that we did that to our police officers. And I think the result – and there's more. There's a lot more other terrible stuff. We replaced the chiefs and the police from being the ones to do the discipline. Now we're going to allow community activists picked by – local politicians to be the ones that are disciplining our police when there's a complaint brought by the public. So a lot of this stuff's outrageous. And the end result will be, if you look at the city of Baltimore that started criminalizing police back in 2016, yes, criminally charging them, and after the Freddie Gray where they falsely arrested and charged, and they all ended up getting off,
yes,
the police officers, because they were falsely charged. Police officers left in droves. They are 500 police officers short, and the police that are there don't want to engage, don't want to get out of the car because they don't want to become criminals themselves. So we took the terrible anti-police policies from Baltimore City and put them in effect statewide.
Senator, I was talking to, I think we talked during the session, I have trouble understanding the mind of this progressive movement. I know that these individuals have to live somewhere and that they want to live in, you know, everybody wants to live in the comfort and safety of their homes. Whom do they think is going to come and you know, protect them? What idea do they have? I know they don't want people to have guns, so what is the don't it's beyond me, Senator, to even comment because I cannot believe people that ignorant. But go ahead, sir.
It is a question I ask myself many times. I thinking, what neighborhoods do some of my fellow legislators live in where they don't think this has become an issue? And I think, unfortunately, the problem is that, you know, and we've seen this before in this country where we went, you know, in the 60s and 70s, we went kind of far left on criminal justice policies.
Right.
And the end result was we had a real crime wave in America, and then we went the other way. And so what my fear is that you see homicides are up 40% across the state. They're up in Frederick County from last year. We had a terrible homicide, I believe, was to come out was yesterday, a young teen from
Brunswick.
Brunswick, yeah. So we see homicide numbers up. But if you look at the city of Baltimore, just look at the city there, they have more homicides in the city of Baltimore than they do in the city of New York. New York has over 6 million people in it. Baltimore's like 600,000. New York is 14 times the size, but yet Baltimore has more homicides. Baltimore is the second most violent city in America, and it's one of the top 20 most violent cities in the entire world. Yet the legislators who are coming out of there are putting in place these terrible policies, the policies that ended up making Baltimore City so dangerous. They're now exporting across the whole state.
And you see what the state's attorney in Baltimore City has done also, Senator, by decriminalizing and just making him civil citations for some of the, you know, just raunchiest things that you can do to your public and to your, you know, tax. Senator, the question that comes up is there anything that we can do for our police, you know, to assist them or to help them now that the legislators have, you know, tried to destroy them? I don't know of anything. The governor tried to veto it. It was overridden. Is there anything can be done?
Well, you got a set of elections coming up. You know, fortunately, we only have one more session left with the current group. So you've got that. And, you know, actually, quite interestingly, it'll make important even your local, your city and your county elections, because like I mentioned, these are the folks that are going to be your county executive, your county council, your mayors, other people that are going to be appointing civilians now to this new, they call it administrative charging committees and stuff. So they're going to be appointing people to these new committees that are going to be involved with the discipline of police. So it really at all levels now, it's important that we elect people that are, in my opinion, that are supportive of police.
Obviously.
And look, we can do this without – and the shame of this whole thing is that I think it degenerated in Annapolis into pro-police, anti-police, because the police came in, were very much – we're at the table. We want to remove the bad police just
sure.
like anybody
Absolutely.
Else.
Absolutely.
They're the ones – they ruin our profession. They make us look bad, and we're with you on that. And they were willing to work with us, but the problem was – that the real far-left folks refused to compromise. And too many people that knew better, too many of my colleagues that knew better, that knew these were bad policies, were so afraid of a Democrat primary and these folks protesting them that they just caved.
Frank, go ahead.
Senator Huff, District 4, thanks for joining us. Let me ask you about something. There's been, a lot of conversation on police reform, but there's a lot of things done at the General Assembly, wrapping up Monday. Let me go back to something earlier that I think probably affects people more than anything and seem to be unanimous. Get your thoughts on the Relief Act pandemic financial aid that the governor signed into law on February 15th. It is expected to cost $1 billion. But how is this going to benefit people in your district across the state?
Yeah, that was one of the, I mean, that was one of the early, I think the first couple of weeks we got in. And like I said, we actually started off on a bipartisan tone. I mean, like I had mentioned before, police reform actually started off bipartisan. But the Governor's Relief Act also, was a big, I guess, bipartisan win. You put it, passed unanimously through the Senate. And it was $1.2 billion, which is targeted tax relief and credits towards small businesses and small businesses that are struggling. And also stimulus checks to people who are from the state. I know people are getting federal, but low-income Marylanders should have already obviously received those already from the state. And so that's what that package was aimed at, is helping small businesses, who many of which have been forced to close through no fault of their own, with breaks on their sales tax that they're going to have to pay, and helping in stimulus checks directly to people who are of low-income Marylanders.
Yeah. If you look for controversy in the bill, I guess it was, how is it finally resolved on whether
illegal aliens,
undocumented immigrants would receive any of the benefits?
So what ended up happening was they did a separate bill apart from that. And the legislation that was passed separate of that would do Marylanders that I'm trying to remember the actual filing. I can't remember what it's called right now. But if you have a green card or you're in the country illegally, they were basically trying to get a stimulus payment to those folks. I disagreed with that. And when we were going through the numbers that we had from the comptroller and others, the majority of those folks were folks that were in the country illegally. And so the problem is now that you're giving them on the earned income tax credit and other things, they're getting more money back than they got in the system. And so when you do these things, you're basically encouraging, in my opinion, more illegal immigration. So when you are, and one of the worst parts about it is we raised taxes this session. I don't think it was publicized as much as people know, but the governor had vetoed, and there were taxes on Netflix and streaming services, and digital advertising, about $250 million in new taxes. And then we went on the other hand and we did stimulus checks to illegal immigrants.
Mm-hmm. Maryland. Well, the senator from Frederick County in Maryland, Michael Huff, with us.
Handsome Carol.
And, yeah, Party Carol. Here's some questions for you, Senator, if you're ready. According to
I don't know if you can answer these, but these have been texted in from listeners.
All right. When will the Nova vaccine be available? It's a Maryland company and traditional vaccine that is more appealing to vaccine hesitant folks.
Are you familiar with this?
I don't know the answer to that one.
Okay, that's a good. All right.
Next,
that might be an FDA federal thing.
Okay. Yeah, I would think. Would Senator Huff support Kelly Schultz for governor?
Yeah, I talked to Kelly, I guess, yesterday. Did she announce yesterday?
Yeah,
or
yeah.
I had a nice talk to her.
Day before.
Yeah, yep. She called me up and I told her I was supportive of her and I wish her well. And actually, I've known Kelly for a long time. That we were first elected to the Central Committee together in 2006. We ran as a team then, and we both served in the House together. And so I think she would, I think she'll do a good job. And I'm very happy to have somebody from Frederick County. Could be at the top of the ticket. Exciting.
Exactly. And she's going to let me know whether I'm their lieutenant governor choice.
I'm pulling for you.
Thank you, brother. Tim, the legislators should give up their protection and security guards and see how soon and safe they feel. Down in Annapolis, you are protected by the state police, I assume, or is there a special...
That is such a great... Whoever texted that in made a great point. And, you know, I kept pointing because I sit now in the front row. That's where the Republican leader and the whip, they sit right in the front there. And so there's a state trooper that's probably 6 feet in front of me, and he stands right to the side of the rostrum where the Senate president is, and they're looking over the whole body, making sure everything is safe. That was not lost on me, the irony, to watch legislators get up and denounce police denounce how they're the enemy and the bad guys and that we don't need them. And they do it under the guise and protection of state troopers.
Yeah.
That was just such an irony. And I said to the troopers, and they're professionals, and they didn't respond. But I just said, I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you sit there every day and listen to the abuse that was heaped on them and just, you know, continue to act in a professional way like that. You know, I don't know that I could do that.
No, it's very sad. It is sad. That was Brian from Boonesboro. Frank, go ahead.
Senator Huff, what happened to your bill, which you say would protect the firearms rights of medical cannabis users, SB 190?
Yeah, so it passed the Senate again unanimously. And just so everyone knows, Maryland has, whether you like it or not, Maryland has ruled that there is medical cannabis. It's there. It's in the law. And my belief has always been there's a contradiction, though, because we say it's a medicine and it's allowed, but then you say in the rest of the law that they can't have Second Amendment rights. And if you're going to say it's a medicine and allowed, why would you not allow them to have their Second Amendment rights? And that legislation has passed the Senate every 4 years. I put it in unanimously. And the House, I guess just because it has the word firearms in it, refuses to pass it. In fact, this year they put it on the House floor. They put a gun control bill in on that, which I wouldn't have supported what they put on there, and it ended up going nowhere. So they just played games with it, which was unfortunate. They were playing silly political games.
Yeah.
When I've had a number of veterans come in every year and testify in favor of that bill,
sure.
People that use medical marijuana to deal with PTSD or whatever, and they're being unfairly discriminated against. Exactly. Right.
So that bill didn't go anywhere. Of course, I'm glad the recreational marijuana bill didn't go anywhere. What other good news do you have from us from Annapolis?
Let me ask you, I'm gonna ask you about some specific bills.
Oh, okay. You want some positives. I have lots of negatives. I have some positives, too, though.
Would you say a positive is that Marylanders will now have legalized gambling in the state? And how does this benefit us Marylanders?
We already had that. We talked about sports betting.
Yeah. All we did was allow, and obviously we did a couple years ago, we passed legislation, a constitutional amendment, to allow sports betting. We'd had gambling a couple of years ahead of that. The voters voted to allow sports betting. And so the legislation came up in front of the state. And my big part of that was I was trying to get, it's called Long Shots, which is the Clarion Inn right by the mall. They have an off-track betting license. Used to be, and Tim would be familiar with this, used to be the Crack Claw. You know, we had a license there, and then it went over to the Clarion Inn now has it. And I wanted to make sure that the off-track betting facilities like that were included, because if they were not, then all of that revenue and it's not just the sports gaming revenue and betting. It's people going out to eat and get money, you know, and get drinks and going shopping and all that. I wanted to make sure that stayed in Frederick County, and we had some of that here. And so I was happy to see that the off-track betting, and I work closely with the sponsor of the bill, that was included so that now they have the opportunity to go get a license.
Do you know if for Frederick County, if, for example, Long Shots in particular has been granted the license?
Yeah, so they have the opportunity to get it because we put in that the off-track betting facilities can apply and go get a license. So obviously it doesn't guarantee anyone a license, but they have the opportunity now because of the way it was written to go and apply and get one. So I think that's really important because otherwise people were just going to go and game and, you know, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and other states, and we're going to lose that money here.
Right. And I think, Frank, that what he's saying to you, not that you didn't understand, but I'll explain it to you, is that there's going to be also about 30 licenses that will be up for grabs, I understand, in the state,
right.
Wherein the racetracks and the off-tracks throughout Maryland will be, they're guaranteed one if they apply and, you know, comply, whatever.
Right.
That was a good part about that, and I appreciate that, Senator.
I just have a couple more, and then you can talk about
take your time.
Other positive news you have, Senator. I guess, was a big bill.
There's some positive, but there's not as much.
I think I know which bucket you're going to put this one in, but I think the Democrats were more into this one. The Climate Solutions Now Act. I know there's a lot of debate and compromise and back and forth. What do we wind up with?
Well, it's really fascinating, the whole thing, because the bill was like an overreach from it came out of the Senate. And the bill was going to take, everyone remembers the flush tax, as it was famously called, infamously dubbed. Mm-hmm. Well, that that actually takes money and puts it in the Bay Restoration Fund. It helps you upgrade sewer and septic so that pollutants aren't going in the bay or into our rivers. And so they were going to take money from that and subvert it into planting trees. And there's nothing wrong. I don't want to belittle planting trees. But when you've got failing sewer or septic, that should be a priority, especially for the environment, over planting trees. When you've got, you know, if you take, we mentioned Brunswick where I'm from. If you've got a failing, which they don't have right now, but if you've got failing sewer septic right there in a town like that on the river, you're going to have major problems. So, you know, that was the main problem with that legislation. It ended up going to the House. They chopped it up, and then actually a lot of parts of it went through without, you know, a lot of controversy, I'd say, as far as, you know, planting trees or once and electric vehicles. Once they got away from diverting the funds from the Bay Fund, I mean, that was pretty controversial.
Yeah, I think that's, I think we saved that anyhow.
Well, finally, it sounds like you endorsed, as it was a unanimous vote in the Senate, the ditching of Maryland's official anthem, the pro-Confederate Civil War tune, Maryland, My Maryland.
Yeah. And so, and explaining that, it's funny because I got some pushback from people because there's a lot of people. And look, I dislike the cancel culture and canceling of names and all that stuff. I don't like when they get rid of the Washington Redskins or there's craziness, you know, Dr. Right. Seuss or all that stuff. But I did a lot of research. I read a book this summer about the Civil War in Maryland. It's pretty fascinating. And so at the end of the Civil War in Maryland, there was a lot of anger at Abraham Lincoln in that Lincoln had, Maryland was going to secede, in my opinion. They were going to secede. And so in order to stop them, Lincoln and the North stationed a lot of troops here. So long story short, after the Civil War, once Democrats got back in power in here in Maryland, they put in place, you know, they had Roger Brooke Taney, who was anti-Lincoln. They put his statue in the back. And then they put in a state song, which calls him a tyrant. And I just thought, you know, it's just not appropriate to have it. I think at this point in history, people revere Abraham Lincoln as one of the best presidents, and to have a song that refers to him as a despot and a tyrant, I just didn't think was appropriate. I just didn't historically like that. So that was why I voted to get rid of it.
Well, now that it's gone, how do we...
It was sung exactly nowhere, by the way. I should mention that, too.
Exactly.
The Preakness didn't even sing it anymore. So it was. It just was an issue worth getting rid of as well, because it just wasn't worth the debate of it.
Well, what do we do now? Do we not have a song, or is that...
We don't have one. There is no state song at the moment.
That's wonderful. Well, I'm glad that, you know, that was bothering me quite a bit because, you know, it affects the taxpaying citizens so much, and I'm so glad that they were able to get rid of that, and I'm sure life will be better. Now, I noticed that in some parts of the country that because of the federal government giveaway and their welfare programs and sending billions of dollars to the state, did the state of Maryland decide maybe this would be a good time to maybe do away with some fees and taxes or lower some taxes or fees? I mean, I didn't hear that mentioned.
Well, you actually cannot. That's one of the worst parts with the federal legislation.
But
is that they came in, they said, we're going to give you money, but as an agreement, you will not cut taxes. So the states made an agreement that, well, obviously, I was not privy to this agreement because I would have, I believe we're overtaxed. But
exactly.
But as part of receiving the money, states were prohibited by what Congress passed from cutting taxes.
Yeah, I understood that. And some states have said, no, we don't want the money. And, of course, I guess by the way we spent money and we needed it because, obviously, when you give politicians, you don't probably haven't seen this yet, the more money you give them, the more they'll spend. And that's been the situation in Maryland for such a long time that it's a shame it hasn't been reeled in a little bit because, I mean, when I look to the legislators and look to Annapolis sessions, I think, what are they doing for us instead of to us? And this last session, I don't think they did a lot for us, and unless I'm missing something. We're giving money away to illegal aliens. We're, you know, we're trying to have the police not be police. And it's just amazing to me that we have gone so far to the left, Senator, that, like you said, the only choice we have, the resolve would be to get people elected, but people seem to forget so soon after a session, obviously.
You make a great point, and great minds think alike, because what you just said was I gave almost the same speech when they passed the stimulus checks for illegal immigrants, mm-hmm. in that I read off all of the tax increases that we've done, including this session where we taxed your Netflix, your yep. Spotify, your streaming services. I mean, only the General Assembly during a pandemic when everyone's locked inside
yep.
and the people are using streaming services would go, hey, this would be a great time to tax them. So, and I read off all the tax increases we've done over the years. We may forget all the O'Malley ones, but remember, those haven't been, with the exception of the rain tax, which we removed as a mandate, the counties could still do, they haven't been repealed. So the income taxes, the gas taxes, the alcohol tax, sales tax, all those taxes, plus all the additional taxes they've done.
Yes.
All the additional taxes, and when you had the, they've decoupled, every time the federal government has cut taxes, they've decoupled from that. So when the federal government did a tax reform recently, they decoupled on that so people would pay higher taxes in Maryland. So repeatedly, they've raised taxes. If you are a law-abiding Marylander, if you pay more taxes than you get back, the General Assembly has done does very little to nothing for you.
Correct. Correct. Senator from District 4, I guess that's right. I call it by District 4, whatever. Senator, anything else that you would like to say that we have about 5 minutes left, and I'm going to turn that back to you if you have some.
What do you think were the accomplishments in Annapolis for that you felt were positive accomplishments?
I would say this. I'll leave you on this on the last 5 minutes. I think the positives were that I think our delegation worked hard locally. I mean, we, like I said, trying to make sure we had the off-track betting facility here in Frederick County was part of the sports betting. Also working hard to, you know, help our small towns here and infrastructure. You know, there's a lot of talk about Emmitsburg, and they had some problems with brown water, some residents up there. And so I worked with the governor to bring $1 million back to Emmitsburg. We got some money to Newmarket and Brunswick to help with infrastructure needs they had. So I thought that was really good. I think the negative is, and my main takeaway for people, is not only what I started off saying, the policing stuff, which what we did was really bad. I think it's going to hurt police retaining, recruiting in Maryland, and police effectively engaging criminal elements. But also, we passed a number of bills that will reduce. We passed two pieces of legislation that will make it easier for people who commit first-degree murder to get out of prison. And so now in Maryland, we've eliminated life without parole for juveniles, meaning Lee Boyd Malvo, the D.C. sniper, will become up parole eligible in Maryland. And we also, in parole, we're allowing, we reduce the amount of time that somebody who commits first-degree murder, an adult, that they become parole eligible, make it easier for them to get released from prison. So there were a number of things this session that aided people who had committed the most violent, heinous crimes. And that was the most shocking thing to see that, because I've worked on a bipartisan basis of criminal justice reform, and
right, exactly.
I think I've been more moderate on a number of these policies. But what they did this session to police and on the criminal justice stuff is lessening penalties for the most heinous, worst criminals. I think it was just awful. And I think that'll be the long-lasting impact of this session. I really – that's why I wanted to call in today, because I think people aren't – the press isn't really covering it as much, and people aren't really aware of really – how bad the bills that we passed were in as far as public safety goes.
Right. Well, Senator, I know you did all you could do. I listened to your floor fights and your speeches, and I think you you represented us well. And you know.
Let me ask you a half a minute question, because I hear from different Republicans in Maryland.
He just cuts off your compliment on me.
That's right.
That's the way it is. Yeah,
that's, Governor Hogan said it was a pretty good session, and I guess he's putting his positive spin on it. But then I hear the minority leader in the House saying it was pretty bad. And what do you, now that you have a high ranking in your position with Republicans in Maryland, what are you going to tell them? What's the strategy for the Republican Party in Maryland?
I would say this, that the governor for his main thing was the Relief Act. He was able to get that through, and I think for that it was good. But I think on public safety, it was probably the worst session in the history of Maryland.
Yes.
Because what we did to police is going to have reverberations for years. And every town, every community, every county in Maryland is going to be struggling now with what we did with police, that it was such an anti-police, Baltimore City-driven bill. What we did, making it easier to release the most heinous, violent criminals. And you think I'm being overdramatic. We lessened the time that people have to serve and they've become more parole-eligible and removed the governor from the parole process for people that were first-degree murderers.
It's wrong, and I appreciate what you tried to do for us. Senator Mike Huff, Frank and Tim.
Thank you, Senator Huff.